This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:06 in the morning, Wednesday the 18th of September. And overnight in the US, Treasuries rallied ahead of the Federal Reserve meeting tomorrow, at which the Fed is expected to cut interest rates. The Dow Jones is up 0.1%, the S&P 500 up 0.3%, and the Nasdaq up by the most, 0.4%.
And in China, stocks dropped by the most in 10 weeks as central bank held loan rates, sticking with a prudent approach to stimulus. So we saw Shanghai Composite close down by a whopping 1.7% and Hang Seng Index down by 1.2%.
Meanwhile, in the rest of Asia, the Nikkei 225 closed up 0.1%. The Kospi was unchanged. The Singapore Straits Times was down 0.7%. And last night, the FBM KLCI closed up 0.2%.
Now, to give us more insight into global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management. Thank you very much for joining us, Dodge. So oil prices surged in the aftermath of the drone attacks on Saudi Aramco facilities in Upcake. What trading opportunities do you see coming out of this?
Well, good morning. Of course, I pulled back since then. Middle East rising tensions. We've been warned so many times about rising tensions in the Middle East that it's hard to know which events to actually react to. Lander believes this was just a repricing that security risk warranted a $10 a barrel higher anyway, and the repricing occurred in just one day rather than over time the way it usually does. We expect reaction to oil-related news, particularly from the Middle East, to be larger than previously and much more accelerated. Now, in terms of trading, we have gone long stocks. By the way, we started trading oil at 3 a.m. in the morning, well before our market opens, 6 hours later. So we look at specific stocks. We basically went long. We started to box our long positions. We didn't go short completely. For example, Hess Corp. We were boxed, and we expect to go long again around 69, and if it gets below 62, we would go short. In the meantime, we're boxed. Schlumberger, one of the more favorite, the traders called SLOB, SLB, which is a symbol. We are long. We would go long again at 40 spot 15, but we would go short at 37 spot 30. So we're boxing in between those two levels. Marathon Oil, we would be long above $14, and we'd be short below $12.90. We were long on Monday, but now we're boxed. So you're getting the feeling that these are now trading, and the timing of the trading has accelerated. Halliburton, we'd be long above 22 spot 27. We'd be short below 20 spot 60. Very specific levels for each stock. The one that is most positive will be Hess Corp. The others are more short, but because of the change in the oil price, they did break out. We have to see if they hold. But it's very specific, and it's very trading, and it's very accelerated.
You sound very busy there, Dodge. So here's another question on the Saudi Aramco IPO. What impact do you see having on the Aramco IPO expected by the end of the year? Would you be looking at getting a piece of the action?
At this point, no. And at this point, given the uncertainty of what is happening, it is possible that the IPO will not happen by the end of the year. It is now up to the production of oil and whether or not the potential loss that has been perceived with the drone attacks on Saudi Aramco facilities, if that can be taken care of quickly. It appears to be able to be quickly taken care of based on what is being said verbally, but we need to see proof. We will probably see proof by October 1st. If it does look like a production will go back and that this is a short-term event, then yes, we would be looking to take advantage of it becoming public. But By the time the IPO comes out, all the news is going to be factored in. So it's not going to be as much of an opportunity as it was before the drone attack. So we're going to wait and see. But for now, Saudi Aramco has to prove itself.
And Dodge, the other thing that everyone's looking at is the Fed decision, right? The markets are kind of expecting a 25 bips rate cut. But there's also some talk that they might stay pat in light of the better economic data. So what's your take on this? And what are you going to be listening for during Jerome Powell's post-decision press conference?
Right now, it's almost 100% factored in that there will be a 24, 25 basis point rate cut. If it's different, then yes, obviously there's going to be some trading opportunities. But what we're really watching, we're not listening as much to what Powell says as much as we're watching the market reaction to what Powell says. That's going to be extremely important, particularly in the short term. And what we would expect is the first move would happen within 5 minutes of whatever news comes out that's not expected. Then there'll be a reversal, and then there'll be a third move after he has stopped talking, and then the talking heads get on CNBC, et cetera, and start to identify and determine what he's saying. But for now, we're not really as interested in what he's saying as the market's reaction.
Now, Dodger, WeWork has also reportedly shelved its IPO for the time being, following a somewhat chilly reception from institutional investors. Now, is there anything that WeWork could do at this stage to make its IPO a more attractive proposition, or were you never a believer in this particular unicorn?
There are things that can be done. Put Adam Neumann in a managed position that is more closely identified as a CEO, not as the owner. Slow or stop its expansion and have WeWork prove it can compensate shareholders in a more traditional way, but earnings. Right now, it is a unicorn that has a great deal of potential, but it needs to transition itself from a unicorn opportunity of paradise to the reality of public marketplaces and what the public expects and the type of regulatory oversight there will be. It's a big move for WeWork. The likelihood of it happening, WeWork has to prove itself, particularly Adam Neumann and his family. That's a very hard step to take. We are hopeful that he can, but for now, we are not investing until they prove it, that they can change.
Thank you so much, Dodge. And that was Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management in New York, giving us his thoughts on WeWork, oil prices, as well as the Fed, which incidentally, the Federal Reserve also stepped into the repo market yesterday and said they'd do so again on Wednesday. So that's tomorrow our time. The New York Fed bought $53.2 billion worth of securities yesterday, hoping to quell the liquidity squeeze, and said that they'd inject up to $75 billion later today.
Yeah, so this was the first time the Fed has taken this action in over a decade since the last financial crisis. So we see money being pumped into the market as a result of the funding shortages between Monday and on Monday and Tuesday. So this is driving rate on repurchase agreement or repos as high as 10%. So that's about four times greater than the last week's level.
Yeah, this is important because markets just don't like any uncertainty, right? And it's also simultaneously the time where the Feds are actually going to announce their Fed rate. So it's like uncertainty on top of another layer of uncertainty. So, you know, markets were very jittery. And some question whether this is a serious source of stress in the market and could there be a surge in the perception of risk. Now, if we look and do a deeper dive in terms of what caused the repo to move, the traders are pointing to a few things. One was that Monday was a deadline for companies to submit quarterly federal tax payments, which definitely sucked cash from the money market funds as companies transferred it to Treasury. Meanwhile, the Treasury Department also auctioned $78 billion dollars in debt, which was scheduled to settle. So it was almost like the perfect storm that caused these repo rates to rise by as much as 10% from the normal 2%.
So the FOMC meeting, FOMC two-day meeting is underway right now. And as we spoke about with Dodge, it's about 100% priced in already, in his opinion, that the Fed is going to be cutting its lending rates by 25 basis points. Now, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has said the U.S. economy faced a favorable outlook despite significant risks from a weaker global growth as well as trade uncertainty. But some other geopolitical risks on the other side of the world include tensions between South Korea and Japan, which are far from over. South Korea has just removed Japan from its trade whitelist, which is a list of its most trusted trading partners, which means exports of certain goods to Japan will now receive a greater scrutiny than those to the 28 other fast-track destinations.
Yeah, so this seems like a reciprocal move from Korea to Japan last month. If you remember, Japan similarly cut South Korea from a list of white nations deemed safe for export of strategic material. So now South Korea is planning to terminate an intelligence sharing pact with Japan. And they are also filing a complaint against Japan at the World Trade Organization, which they claim that Japan has sort of made a political motivated disguised restriction on trade.
Yeah, trade, and this doesn't help because, you know, trade globally is definitely slowing down. And trade tensions, of course, have hurt South Korea's economic outlook and in also Japan, which is not exactly going through a rosy patch at this current moment.
Indeed. And they are also feeling the adverse effects from the US-China trade war. Now, in some other international headlines, WeWork has, of course, shelved its IPO plans after filing to go public last month. And it's now postponing this until at least October to be completed by the end of the year. So, you know, you must be somewhat happy about this, Shanning.
Unless
that I'm right. I told you so.
It could be WeWork Realty soon. No, would that convince you? No,
I don't know. I mean, you can change certain things. You can tighten up the regulation. You can reduce issues.
But regulation is the thing, isn't it? I mean, once they decide what business they're meant to be in, then that places them
okay,
in
guys,
what regulation? To,
I'm sorry.
Okay, right.
At the end of the day, is it just a property company masquerading as a tech company, but with better coffee?
With better coffee, indeed. Well, as Dodge said, but there are a few things that they could do in order to maybe make their IPO a little bit more attractive. But if you're also interested in startups and other kind of fintech businesses like this, remember you can also check out our Enterprise Breakaway, which is happening on Thursday, the 26th of September at Connection at Nexus Bangsa South. So this year it's going to be focusing on how you can make the most of digitalization in order to grow your business. The theme is building business in new frontiers. If you want to find out more information, you can get it on bfm.my/breakaway. Right now, though, we are heading into a few messages for you, and then we'll be back with more local news. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.